Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Jenny Enchondo, who is a reporter for, let me hit that button there, come over here. She is a reporter for KD, let me get the call letters right, AF Dallas. That's the News Nation affiliate in Texas. She joins us on WGN. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to our show. How are you?
Oh, I am so happy to chat with you, and I'm happy to hear Linda seems to be faring better than most. My gosh.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, what is the, start with the current conditions. So she's closer to the water. What is it like in Dallas today?
Sure. So we're in Dallas. It's 24 degrees, which is a massive warm up. So people in Chicago are probably thinking, what are they complaining about? But, you know, we were at -2 a couple of days ago, and so we've been slowly warming up. We will not get above freezing today, though. And so now it's just this issue with the pipes freezing. And she was talking about, you know, people looking for gas, and it's really sort of a moot point, you know, unless you absolutely have to. It's one of those where you should stay where you are, because if you're out of gas, you're not going to find it here in town. But
really,
Bridget, no, I mean, it's just, unless you happen to be one of the lucky ones that, you know, you catch it right before they close down. But a lot of the gas stations are closed down because they ran out of fuel. So you're kind of, what you have right now is what you have. And that relates to food right now as well. I mean, you can get some random stuff. Like, you might show up at the grocery store and get, you know, some Ritz crackers or something, but the staples are gone. And by and large, we knew that this was going to happen. So I think a lot of people stocked up ahead of time. But what we didn't think would happen is that, you know, a quarter of our state would be without power at one point. That I mean, gosh, we're at 7 million people on that boil water notice, which is one thing, but then there are people who are also with a boil water notice and they have no power, so they can't boil their water and they can't get any, you know, water, and it's 27 degrees.
So the timeline on this was, it got real cold, the roads got icy, we saw that terrible crash you all had, and we knew that the Texans mm-hmm. were having trouble navigating, and you thought that would be the story, but then it got colder still, and you got snow, and we thought, well, that's weird, they won't be able to keep up, they don't have the plows and the salt we do, but then the houses started to malfunction, and there was such a drain on the power grid for energy, say for gas, heat, and electric, mm-hmm. that it's sort of like what we go through when it's super hot in Illinois and everybody runs their air conditioners. You get rolling blackouts or brownouts, but you are all managing to stay warm rather than cool. And so these rolling blackouts or brownouts were then shutting down some communities and forcing people to not have power. But there were also
yes.
problems with just keeping generators running as well. So it really has been a perfect storm, and that's where you are today, right?
Yes, you're such a good storyteller. I mean, that's exactly it. You've obviously been paying close attention to what's been happening here, which we appreciate, you know, just even feeling the love from across the country. But yes, nobody would have predicted that we would now be really at the water crisis today. It is. And so we've been told initially, and again, we're talking about Texans, people who are not used to just taking those certain precautions that you take. For example, you might know, okay, we're getting below freezing. We may put a little drip on the faucet. People didn't do that. Their pipes froze, and now they are breaking and bursting. So now the word's getting out, okay, everybody drip your faucets. But city and state officials are saying, hold on, we don't have enough water. We need to preserve this water for hospitals and for emergency crews. So wait, please don't drip your faucets. And people are really confused about what to do because they're seeing all around them. I mean, it just in my neighborhood and in the center of Dallas here, if you drive around the corner, you'll see 4 water mains that have busted. And so obviously that's been freezing around within walking distance.
Okay, hold on. I think you've just answered one of my questions. I'm like, why don't you have water? I mean, you would think you'd be able to get water, but if the mains have busted, that's it. Even the water mm-hmm. mains are, boy, that our water mains here are buried enough or insulated enough. That happens, but rarely do we have a water. It was 9 degrees below
right.
zero in Chicago. It was -9 or -6. And by and large, people have water. That's not an issue. But your pipes are not insulated. Sometimes they're on the outside. And even the city itself doesn't anticipate this kind of cold coming, right?
No, not at all. But it's but since it has happened, you know, there's the discussion now, and now may not be the time, but it needs to happen quickly about, okay, this has happened once. If and when this happens again, we cannot be having nursing home facilities that are having, you know, a water main break in front of them and having no water. We cannot have a situation where it's indicated that it's going to be a controlled power outage, where somebody will have that controlled rolling blackout for 15 to 45 minutes, and then it lasts for 3 days.
Really?
Some of the coal and natural gas facilities lost power or froze too. So there's that. That's another part of it. And the other component that's starting to, you know, this is the discussion kind of today, is that winterization for Texas power plants are recommended. It's recommended, but it's not required. So
I think some of us are yelling at our TVs in Chicago, and we're saying things like, it's called climate change, Texas. You better get used to it, because global warming means a lot of things, and that includes vast temperature swings. I want to read you a listener from Austin, previously from Chicago. Thanks for your text, Jeff. He said, had no power for 53 hours, 160-plus hours of below freezing here in Austin and counting. The fire sprinkler pipes thawed, but then flooded the ceiling when the power was restored. So the sprinklers are off now, but the roads are icy and I can't go to the store. The water pressure is low, so everyone is boiling their water. That said, we are thankful we have our health and we are safe. I mean, it sounds calamitous for people.
It is. And then we add on, obviously, we're in a pandemic. So you think about, well, get to a warming station, right? Just get to the closest one. Well, then we're talking about a crowd of people, and we're not supposed to be in crowds of people. I mean, it's just every solution you think of is sort of cut off, and it's isolating for people because they feel very alone. We've offered for many people, for example, to come over here, and they're thinking, well, I'm in Fort Worth. That's a 45-minute drive, and we know that nobody has plowed these roads. And we know that they are icy now because of the water main breaks. And the boil water notice, by the way, if people are wondering about that too, like, okay, well, for the little water they can get, why do they have to boil it? It's because if the main has busted, obviously that compromises the seal of the water. So it just can't be guaranteed that it's clean. Also, some of these water treatment plants are down. So we do not want to be drinking water that has not been treated, obviously.
I guess so, yeah. I saw a picture of somebody taking snow and melting it in their house, which, you know, sounds like the way we lived 150 years ago. Dallas is a major American city. I don't need to remind anybody of that. I wanted to mention this, too. 708 texted in to say, hey, I hear Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, is on a plane to Cancun with his family. If this is confirmed, he needs to be voted out, thrown out. Well, that's up to the people in Texas. Do you know, is that true? And if so, is it too soon to know what the reactions from folks in Texas are to the fact that the senator is on vacation in Cancun?
I posted this story on social to about 130,000 people and just asked the question, does this bother you? You know, does this bother you? And I would say, I mean, gosh, What would it be? Did it go exactly down party lines? Yes, it did.
Really?
About two-thirds of the people said, Jenny, it's fine. If he can get out, more power to him. And then the other third or so were saying, this is absurd. This is embarrassing. This is hurtful. And then people started to share their own personal stories saying, like, how can you leave when I can't get across town to my mother who's been in a house with no power for 3 days and now the water is building up below her. I think for some people they're finding it to be very hurtful. We have heard rumors, and this is very unconfirmed, that he may be heading back, but that's not something that we've confirmed. But there is major outrage by some people in Texas. And also, you know, Ted Cruz has been outspoken about, for example, calling out California and saying things, you know, to the effect of, oh, I guess you don't like having power there, and sort of calling out the way that they do business and the way they do power there. So it's drawing more attention to him than it would somebody else.
What about the governor? He was saying things like the people that are on the board that manages your power, they should be fired or resign. I believe maybe some of them have, but it didn't sound well, I'm in Illinois, so I shouldn't pass judgment, but I'll finish this thought. It didn't sound like the buck stops here, that the governor was taking responsibility for it. He was saying it's the people that manage the power. Talk to me about that. What are people saying about the governor or the power company?
Good question. Governor Abbott has called for an investigation of ERCOT. ERCOT is part of it. It's an acronym, and part of it is reliability on the R part, which has been sort that, of this, yeah. Sort of sinister conversation about where's the reliability here. But so he has called for an investigation of ERCOT. So again, it depends on what side you're coming from. So some people are saying, great, thank you. Finally, we do need an investigation to happen. And others are saying, well, why don't you, Governor Abbott, do something? And something, you know, you and I were talking about before, which is just sort of one of these subtle things that has happened during this time, is that some of the heavy hitters for these companies, ERCOT, and then here locally in Dallas, Oncor, whereas before they were held up and celebrated on the websites and names were up and bios, just, you know, as you do when you're a big part of a big company like that. And those have been, by and large, removed.
Oh, really? So they're on their way out, or they're hiding, yeah. And then you have the mayor of a small town in Texas, Colorado City, Tim Boyd, who said, if you don't have electricity, you need to step up and come up with a game plan to keep your family safe and warm. He pretty much said every man for himself. He said, folks, God has given us the tools to support ourselves at times like this. This is sadly a product of our socialist government, where they feed people to believe that the law will work and others will become dependent for handouts. I'm sorry if you're dealing with a lot of electricity and water, but I'll be damned if I'm going to provide for anyone that's capable of doing it themselves. His point is, you all need to fend for yourself. Don't be lazy and ask the government to hand you stuff out. He's since resigned. Is that too small a story for people to notice? It is getting some attention.
It's getting attention because here's the thing. It can be, you can be a small town like Colorado City, but anybody with a heart who's looking for some, you can be warmed just by the thought that somebody cares about in something like this, because that's what people are looking for, answers. And so the sentiment behind that, I think, was really scary for people, because part of us being able to find our own resilience is knowing that others are backing you.
That's a nice point. And that's what Ted Cruz is up against, I think. What's Ted Cruz going to do? Put his finger in the dike? He can't fix your water pipes. It just looks bad. You want your leaders. That's why Joe Biden will probably be there, why Trump and Obama and the rest of them travel to places like that. It's just to show spirit and, you know, support, even if you can't physically do anything. And the fact that he's saying, don't ask us to help, on the one hand, sounds very Texas of him, you know, independent spirit, but... Man, you're the mayor of the town. Show a little compassion for people here, for crying out loud.
Well, the thing is, people are helping. I mean, gosh, there's a mattress store in Houston that we were all saying, what a generous person. He has opened up this entire furniture store to let people in. You and I both know all that furniture is going to be ruined, the entire store. Yeah. So he's opening it up and having people come in. And even if I personally can't get to that furniture store, it's a warming feeling to know that that's an option for people.
Jenny Anchondo is a reporter at KDAF-TV in Dallas, the News Nation correspondent down there. We'll probably see you across the country this evening, including here in Chicago. Jenny, it's good to talk to you. We'll catch up later on. Thanks for your time.
Sounds good. It's been my pleasure. Thanks for the chat.